Right now, this is live from Studio A, and we are joined right now by Ian Alexi. How's it going, Ian?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming in. So over the course of this interview, we'll touch on how Ian's been doing over the quarantine pandemic, has a new album out with his band, The Deserters, called Troubadour 21st Century. We're going to hear some songs from that, find out about a documentary movie project that Ian has been working on as well. And do you want to kick things off with a song today?
Yeah, I'll start with Making It Shine, which is the title of the documentary as well. Well, things have changed and the past is gone. Where's the love turn your light on? Yeah, I'm making it shine. Wanna sign me up for the cause? You wanna change the rules? You wanna change the laws? But I'm just making a dime. Yeah, I'm making it shine. Ooh, yeah, I think I can feel it. It's getting me high. Now I'm getting beyond it. Now I'm getting it right. I'm making it shine. It was in your mind, now it's happening. From across the room, you pull me in, and I'm getting a sign. The winter's coming, gets in your bones. Looking at the moon and not alone, yeah. I'm making it shine. Yeah, I'm making it shine. Ooh, yeah, I think I can feel it. It's getting me high. Getting beyond it. Now I'm getting it right. I'm making it shine. Well, things have changed and the past is gone. Where's the love turn your light on? Yeah, I'm making it shine. Yeah, I'm making it shine. I'm making it shine. Yeah, just making it shine.
That is Making It Shine. That is live from Ian Alexi. And that one opens up with Things Have Changed and the Past Is Gone. But I understand that was written before COVID?
It was written before COVID, yeah. Which it's funny how that works. Because the album was done
kind of a while before COVID, and I was just trying to get all my ducks in a row before I put it out, and then COVID hit, so then it got delayed even longer. So most of the songs on it were written in 2017 and 2018, actually. Yeah,
I was going to ask you about getting the band together, but that must have been fairly easy then if it was...
Yeah.
If it was totally done, the album was all recorded before COVID?
Yeah. We started it in Menominee, Wisconsin, which is where I was living at the time. But before that, I lived in Minneapolis for 8 years. So my band, the Deserters, are all still there. So we started it at Drum Farm Studios in Menominee, which is a great facility on a farm. So we kind of got some of the basic tracks done there, and then we moved it back to Minneapolis with my sort of regular producer engineer, a guy named Dylan Now. Yeah, so we finished it there and mixed it there.
Yeah, did you ever notice any, what's it like, the difference? You know, obviously the Twin Cities compared to Menominee, Wisconsin. Do you notice like a different feel coming through when you're recording in those, when the settings are so different? Mm-hmm. Or was it more record most of it and then do the finishing, like the polish at the other one?
Well, I was kind of following my intuition as I went, and my initial intention was to make a really sort of straight ahead Americana album. I was listening to a lot of Chris Stapleton and Jason Isbell and that kind of stuff. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do my sort of version of this. And so that's about half the album. But after we did the first batch of songs in Menominee, I was sort of starting to write more rock stuff too, and I felt like I had to follow where my songwriting was going and where my intuition was telling me. And then I brought the project back to Dylan, who had done my previous album, because I really liked that, which was the Deserters EP and the sound of it and the vibe of it. So I was just sort of following my intuition as I went.
Mm-hmm. One thing I noticed is, and we'll get to 1994 later, I believe, but it's not the only song that has some prominent saxophone in it as well, which really made me, you know, think of kind of that Minneapolis sound. Can you talk about how that was also brought in there?
Yeah, well, the sax part of it was my bass player, Ben Peterson. His main instrument is actually tenor sax, so there was always that option. But from a musical standpoint, for the past several years, I'm originally from the Jersey Shore. So I was going back and visiting a lot and kind of getting interested in the music that comes from there. And you know, like Springsteen and the E Street Band would be the
big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously saxophone's a big part of, his music with Clarence Clemons and everything. So that was sort of the idea of bringing the saxophone in. Yeah, because a couple of the songs, particularly Song for Joel on there, the imagery and the lyrics are about the Jersey Shore, so I kind of wanted that vibe for the song.
Yeah, I think it captures it well. They're very prominent saxophone lines, but I just thought the way that they were mixed in with that kind of rock Americana sound, it really worked really well, not something that you hear in Americana. It comes into rock from time to time, but not something that you always see. So you talked about trying to capture that New Jersey where you and Teague grew up.
Yeah.
And there is, we haven't got to the documentary yet, but there's an episode that is focused on New Jersey as well. Do you want to tell the people a little bit about that documentary this makes a little more sense to them?
Absolutely, yeah. So I'm, you know, for over 10 years now, I've been sort of a filmmaking hobbyist, and I about 10 years ago I bought a video camera, and on the Hobo Nephews tours and on my own tours and travels and in the studio, I would bring the camera along and try and document what I was doing as often as I can. But I was also playing music too, so I, you know, it's a little bit hard, but whenever I could, you know, I set up the camera on a tripod and capture it. And not actually knowing what I was going to do with the footage, just feeling like my life was flying by and I wanted to, you know, have some documentation of it. So then when COVID hit, I was actually living down in Solon Springs renting from a friend, and there I was isolated out there, and I started looking at all this video footage that I hadn't even, a lot of it I had never even looked at. And then I thought, well, okay, there's something here. There's a story I can tell with this. So that's how it started.
Yeah, it was mainly personal when you got the, sounds like it was for personal use when you first got the camera. Did you ever have like an inkling that you would want to do something like this? Or was it mainly once you sat down and had that time and looked at it that it came to you?
Well, some of the footage, my intention was not only to document, but also make videos for my songs and stuff. So like, which I've done. And if you check out my YouTube channel, Ian Alexi Official, you can see I've got about 30 or so videos on there that are almost all self-made. But what happens is with a lot of the video footage I have, there are some videos I attempted to make that I never finished because they didn't look right or it looked cheesy or whatever. But then in the context of a documentary where you need that sort of B-roll and footage to go along with your story, it worked pretty well. So, yeah.
And there are two episodes that have been released so far, right?
Yep.
Two out of four?
Two out of four, yeah. The first two are out, and the way that the story is told is I'm looking back at my sort of touring life and what I've been doing through this sort of present tense, which was being in the pandemic. So now for the second two parts, I get to tell the story of coming out of the pandemic, which will be nice.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing them. And for everyone out there, that's at the same YouTube channel, right?
Yep.
They're up. You can stream them. There's a lot of the songs from the album are also mixed in as well as some
instrumentals. They're instrumental versions of the songs on the album in the documentary. Mm-hmm. And
it's something fun to check out. Well, do you want to play another song for us?
Yeah. So I guess I'll do 1994. This one has a little bit of that New Jersey nostalgia, I guess, too. So here we go.
Left alone for too long in front of the TV. Dreams in color flickering with high fidelity. My friends have gotten older now, but I can't settle down. I feel like a stranger in every single town. But I'll always be searching, 'cause I need a little more. I wanna feel the way I felt in 1994. It's been so long since I felt that way. I don't belong. Somebody gonna take me away. I look at you, but I just can't say if you feel this way. Hey, hey. Do you feel this way? I learned to steal, I learned to give, I learned to love and lose. Everything was clear to me with nothing to confuse. Lately it's been hard for me to tell right from wrong. I can hear the singer, but I don't get the song. I'll always be searching, 'cause I need a little more. I wanna feel the way I felt in 1994. It's been so long since I felt that way. I don't belong. Somebody gonna take me away, I look at you, but I just can't say if you feel this way. Hey, hey, do you feel this way? And I'll need a little more. I want to feel the way I felt in 1994. I'll always be searching, cause I need a little more. I want to feel the way I felt in 1994. Oh, 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 yeah. Oh, 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 oh,
oh. Ian Alexi live. That is 1994, another song from the Troubadour 21st Century album, and another one of the singles that was put out ahead of time. And you mentioned a little bit that has some nostalgia in it, and it kind of goes with that second episode of the documentary.
Yeah.
In 1994, where would you find Ian Alexi?
I was still in New Jersey in high school and delivering pizza and playing in my high school band and going to the beach in the summers. You know, it was fun. It was a good time. I was also a big, and still am, a Grateful Dead fan. And in 1994, they were actually still playing. So, you know, I grew up near Philadelphia, near New York. So we would all drive to the Dead concerts. That was a big part of that time period for me.
The second episode in particular, like I said, the other two are still to come, but has some great footage of you as a youngster.
Oh, yeah,
I love the look of everyone. There's a lot of flannels, long hair.
It's the grunge era, yeah.
Yeah, it is very grungy. What was it like growing up there, moving out to New Jersey? Obviously, I know you talked a little bit in the documentary about traveling between homes and how that kind of influenced especially the hobo nephews of Uncle Frank.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was it like? You talked a little bit there about growing up with the... Sounds like some, you know, two major cities that you can get to fairly easily. So I'm assuming for live music.
Yeah. It was great growing up there in the time period too. Like I'm happy with the age that I am because of the time period that I got to be a kid in was great. Although I definitely sort of felt like an outcast. I mean, me and my group of friends were these sort of grungy hippie guitar players, and that was not really the norm. I mean, we were it was a fairly conservative area, so I didn't like it that much and I wanted to get out of there. But now, you know, in hindsight, I feel like it was pretty great. But yeah.
And so one thing that I maybe listeners know this as well, but I had never actually realized this before I was getting ready for this interview, that you and Teague have an uncle named Frank.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone, maybe people knew that, but as I was reading up on that, I was like, wow, that's a good band name.
Yeah. Well, our Uncle Frank is I think a lot of that side of the family has a real sort of wandering and traveling spirit. Actually, my mom is traveling down to Florida right now. She's relocating down there, which is great. And my Uncle Frank would always fly out to Nevada and drive around the deserts and, you know, go to Vegas, of course, but also drive all over the state. So it was just sort of like a family joke. And literally it is a band name that started as sort of a joke. And then, you know, like, okay, we're going to think of a real name any day now. And then, of course, we never did. So.
When you pandemic kicks in and you've kind of been able to, it sounds like, follow that wandering spirit for most of your life up until then. What was that like? And it's a good time to ask, just how are you doing coming out of the pandemic?
Man.
It's always good to check in.
Yeah, thanks.
How was it for you? Do you feel lots of relief that things are opening up now? There's kind of an end in sight. And how was the pandemic experience for you?
Well, I definitely feel great now that we're coming out of it and starting to play shows again and even doing stuff like this. I'm very grateful. I did pretty good with it. I mean, I had moments, as is documented in the documentary, I had a bit of a meltdown where I decided to talk to the camera about it. So I definitely had moments of complete horror and despair, as I'm sure everybody did. But for the most part, that getting a break from being on the road, the sort of physical wear and tear of being in the car all the time and traveling all the time, once I got used to that, on some level I appreciated it. And it gave me the freedom and the space to do things like create these documentaries, where I, you know, I don't know that ever would have got underway if I hadn't been sort of, you know, what's the word? Just
sequestered.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good word. Yeah.
Sequestered. There's probably plenty of good ones.
So, you know, I tried to look at the positive in it. But it certainly was a shock to my system, especially at first, because like musicians talk about being on the road. Obviously, we're not on the road all the time. You know, some musicians are, but there's always been breaks for me. But almost every single like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'd be going somewhere to play. So there was a visceral feeling of missing that, you know, where I really didn't know what to do when that part of the week came around. That was really hard for a while, but then I got used to it.
Did you learn all your video editing skills kind of on the fly? Did you have some experience with that before? Or was that something that you learned over this time as well?
I got better at it for sure. But I started doing video editing about 10 years ago when I first got the camera. And I think my first video was a song called A Little Bit Further Back from my Are You Listening EP. And that came out in 2010. So that's when I started, you know, square one with it.
Yeah, I think it's really important to, it seems like people who are able to kind of find a different channel, something else to like put their time into and to learn new skills, be it, you know, I feel like bread making was like the pop culture one that everyone was starting to make bread, but it, you know, it comes in many forms of ways that people were able to make it through. But glad to hear, we're all glad to hear that.
Yeah.
It went pretty, that you're doing well. And what kind of shows do you have lined up? What's in the future now that, as you said, you can start to play more, things are opening up?
Yeah.
What are some things that are coming up? Where can people catch you?
Well, this Sunday at 1 p.m., I'll be under the Earth Rider tent playing from 1 to 2 o'clock before another band called Coyote something from the cities who sound great. And I've got some other ones too, but one that I really want to sort of promote is my brother and I are putting on the Northern Train Festival, Northern Train Music Festival, and that's going to be at the Earth Rider Festival grounds on August 27th. And my band is going to play, the T. Galexy band is going to play, Colleen Myrie is going to play, and we're going to have some sort of Hobo Nephews all-star jam of sorts.
Awesome. That sounds great. I'm looking forward to that. It's been so nice to have Earth Rider.
Yeah.
Pretty much like throughout, just a space where you felt safe going to see music. They've got such a nice outdoor space, and now it's like they are just firing things off.
Yeah.
They've had a great lineup coming up this summer as well. So,
yeah.
That is good to hear. You mentioned, I guess we should cover this a little bit. You did mention Ben, your saxophonist. Do you want to give the whole band? You're here solo today, but everyone who played on the record?
Yeah. Well, my longtime drummer now, I guess we about 6 or 8 years, Mike Sini, and he was a drummer for Nicholas David's band and a sort of funk band called Down Low back in the day. And then another bassist named Johnny Tim played on it, who was also in Nicholas David's band. And then Ben Peterson and the producer Dylan played pedal steel, and then me. Yeah.
Nice. And that is the that's the current deserters lineup. There's like a little, is there a little bit of,
yeah, there's
come and go?
There is a little bit. It's usually the live setup is myself, Mike, and Ben as a trio. But we've had Dave Melling has played keyboards with us. And we've had a couple other people kind of come in and out. So yeah, I try to keep sort of an open door policy, especially as a solo artist who has a band that's like under my own name. you know, it can be, and the reason I do that is because I play solo so much that it's difficult to sort of sell yourself as a band name and then show up solo. It gets confusing. So,
yeah.
But I try and have some leniency there because I'm just grateful to have people come in and play with me. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we were really glad to have you come in solo today. And
yeah.
Do you want to close us out with one more song?
Yeah, I mean, this is the last song on the new album. It's called The Dreaming Kind. Dreamt I was a cowboy on the western plain, riding on a black horse, the saddle and the reins. In the evening I sleep with silver stars, but all I do is miss you. How'd you get so far? Then I dreamt I was a spaceman floating out on a line, looking down at planet Earth the size of a dime. And I think of all the violence now, how could it be? I don't see the hatred, only blue and green. And any time of day you might find me slipping away, and you wonder where I've been. I'm just dreaming again, dreaming again. Then I'm on a big stage, red and yellow lights, and the crowd is going insane for every song I write. And you were in the front row of the summer fest, wearing my t-shirt, my name written on your breast. Now I'm flying down the highway, Cleopatra next to me, sailing on the asphalt between the mountains and the sea. And she tells me that she loves me, but I can hardly hear, 'cause the wind is whistling and I'm shifting into high gear. And any time of day you might find me slipping away, and you wonder where I've been. I'm just dreaming again, till my life is gone. I tune out the static and listen for the song, but now I'm getting far behind. I've always been the dreaming kind, the dreaming kind, the dreaming kind, the dreaming kind. And any time of day you might find me slipping away, and you wonder where I've been. I'm just dreaming again. Any time of day
might find me slipping away. And you wonder where I've been, then where you've been. I'm just dreaming again, dreaming again, dreaming again, dreaming again, yeah, dreaming. Dreaming again.
It's the dreaming kind, live from Ian Alexi. Thank you for playing that one.
That's one of
my favorites off of the album. I really like.
Thanks, Malachi.
Some beautiful imagery on that one. And one last time, for people to see you next around here.
This Sunday, I'll be at the Earth Rider tent in Superior at 1 p.m. Sunday afternoon.
And you can find some of those music videos and the first two parts of the documentary that we were talking about at
Ian Alexi Official on YouTube.
And the next one is due out.
I don't know.
Mystery. We were on a roll there.
Definitely this summer. But they're sort of organically being created. I've been doing it as I go, yeah. So I don't have a hard release date for that.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for playing some music.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by Christine Dean, Malachi Coons, and Emma Gilhausen, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.